So, today we're discussing the 8th chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's the Adi Leela. And, of course, we are aware that there are three parts to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Adi Leela is where we, in the first seven chapters, are basically getting a description of the Panchatattva. Then in chapter 8, we're getting a little bit more about the mercy of the Panchatattva and the need of taking shelter of the mercy of the Panchatattva. And then we get information about the writer himself, how he received the order to write and how he was empowered to write. Then in the next chapters, chapter 9 to 12, we'll discuss the Bhakti Kalpataru, that is then the tree of all the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and how the branches of the Sankirtan movement spread. So that will be discussed in four chapters. Then in chapter 13, it begins with the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then his youth up till chapter 17, when he takes sannyas. And then the Madhya Leela is describing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken sannyas and is like the acharya, the preacher, acting as a spiritual master, teaching, and also begins to more and more reveal his identity. In the Antya Leela, he's in Jagannath Puri, and in the beginning, the devotees are coming for Rath Yatra, but after a few years, the devotees are not coming anymore for Rath Yatra, and then we get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his intimate associates, Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Rai, and his servant Govinda, and Raghunath Das is there. And they are all part of these later pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, do you have enough cushions now for everyone? So keep the cushions in the back because people come in from the back. So, when we speak about these final days and the last chapter, the last part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, the Antya Leela, that is important for the chapter that we're discussing today, because in chapter 8, we're discussing that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was asked by various senior Vaishnavas to write about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Now, why would they ask Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had never met Lord Chaitanya? It would be like, it's a little awkward. Why didn't they look for someone who had been there at the time? And why would they choose him? For various reasons. One reason was that Krishnadas, we remember maybe from earlier discussions in the fifth chapter, that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had a dream. And maybe recall that in that dream Lord Nityananda appeared and that Lord Nityananda requested him to go to Vrindavan and there all things would be attained. So that is the time that Lord Chaitanya, or that Nityananda gave the instruction to Krishnadas. Often we get the impression that that happened when Krishnadas was very old. After all, we hear that Krishnadas was in his 90s when he finished the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that his hands were shaking, that he says, my eyes are going blind, my brain, my memory is finished. How can I write this book? He's saying himself in the final chapter of Antya Leela. So, Krishnadas is sort of there indicating that the Chaitanya Charitamrita was written at the end of his life. Now, in general, scholars, they think that it took him at least 30 years to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is not unreasonable if you look how dense it is. It's not just pastimes, but rather the way the book is constructed is that there is evidence from the Bhagavatam, especially. There are like some 350 quotes from the Bhagavatam, and then as evidence, and then the next book is the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which gives about 40 quotes of evidence, Bhagavad Gita about 20 quotes of evidence, and then so many other books that also give evidence. But the main evidence is the Bhagavatam. So these Bhagavatam verses are not just randomly quoted, they are like they're in strategic positions, making important points, and then Krishnadas leads up to them and after also explains them. So therefore the Bhagavatam verses that are quoted are like part of a skeleton in the CC, like a structure, you could say. So the senior Vaishnavas were requesting Krishnadas Kaviraj to write. So Krishnadas Kaviraj, he was qualified because he had been in Vrindavan a long time. Krishnadas Kaviraj did not leave for Vrindavan when he was in his 90s. He left much earlier. And the first book that became very famous that he wrote was in Vrindavan, was the Govindalilamrita about Vrindavan pastimes. It was for that book that he got the title Kaviraj. That is what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati has told. On the internet you find that Krishnadas was from a family of Ayurvedic doctors, of Vaidyas, and there's a village given, and a father's name given, and his mother, and this and that. And it's said that he is in that family. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says this is not correct. So in this way, in the Gaudiya Math, it is understood that the title Kaviraj is coming from the Govinda Lilamrita, which is an amazing work about Vrindavan and the Vrindavan pastimes. And for example, there Radha Kund is described as it appears in its spiritual form, not as we see it on the video of Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, you know, which is these are the temples that have been built there by devotees. So we see Vrindavan through the eyes of devotees, but we're not seeing the jeweled swings on the corners that are there. But Krishnadas Kaviraj describes all that. So he describes a very transcendental Vrindavan. So how can he write like that? So Krishnadas was first of all chosen by the senior Vaishnavas as a writer because, one, he was had been in Vrindavan for a long time, and he was trained in the Goswami school. So he was very expert in the philosophy of the Goswamis. He had heard from the Goswamis, and he had been trained by them. So he was like a prominent scholar in the line of the six Goswamis in that school, which was still very small. We are also in that line, but you have to say it was just a beginning movement. So there were. So he was one of the prominent personalities amongst many devotees, but in the line of Rupa Goswami. That was the first reason why. Then the senior Vaishnavas asked Krishnadas Kaviraj to describe the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishnadas describes that in the Radha Govinda temple, the temple of Rupa Goswami, which was later destroyed by Aurangzeb, as we know, that temple was such a famous temple, and there were so many amazing devotees. It said there were thousands of devotees there, and they were meeting every day. The temple was completely alive, and the devotees would every day hear from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. at that time known as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, later changed to Chaitanya Bhagavat from Vrindavan Das Thakur. But there was one desire, and they were very eager to hear about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They had no other desire than to become deeper and deeper absorbed in the nature of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. But there was one problem. They knew that the Chaitanya Bhagavat of Vrindavan Das Thakur was not covering the full life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They knew that there was very little information in the Chaitanya Bhagavat about the later pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. So they wanted to know about these later pastimes. But nobody was there, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would send the devotees from Bengal away. He stayed in total 18 years in Jagannath Puri, in that Antya Lila. For the first 6 years, the devotees would come every year from Bengal for Rath Yatra and stay 3 months. And the rest of the time they were also not there, but there were local devotees like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Gopinath Acharya, and so on. But then in the final days, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went deeper and deeper into his internal consciousness, and he told the devotees from Bengal not to come anymore. So then he stayed alone with a few associates I mentioned, Ramananda Roy, Sarup Damodar, and Raghunath Das. Raghunath Das was appointed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to under the care of Sarup Damodar Goswami. Sarup Damodar Goswami, he wrote a diary. This diary is a diary about those final days. That diary these days is no longer available, but some verses of it have survived and are here and there surfacing, for example, in the work of Kavi Karnapur in the Gaura Galadesh Deepika, which was completed in 1576. There it is found that the verses are quoted. Some of these verses are in the introduction of the 14 verses that are the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But otherwise, we don't have that diary anymore of Sarup Damodar Goswami. However, Raghunath Das was his servant. So Raghunath Das, he spent so much time with Sarup Damodar, he memorized the whole diary. He memorized it. This is written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the introduction of the Brahma Samhita. So that's where the evidence is found for that statement, that Raghunath Das actually memorized the whole thing. So then, so that was the second reason why Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was asked to speak and asked to write about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Because, A, the first one is he was in the line of the Goswamis. The second one, because he had access to the information about the later pastimes. The third reason why Krishnadas Kaviraj was asked to be the writer was because they knew that he was not only a learned scholar, that not only was he that he knew the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'm getting distracted because the door opened. Not only did he know the Goswami philosophy, but he also had realized it. When we are looking, you want to come in, please come. And have a seat. It's on the, and there are cushions. Yeah. Let's keep it here. So the third reason why Krishnadas was a writer, we find in that dream, and the dream which is mentioned in the fifth chapter, when Krishnadas saw, he saw Lord Nityananda. And in the dream, when Krishnadas saw Lord Nityananda, he was immediately immediately overcome by great ecstasy, and he fell on the floor and offered his obeisances. And Lord Nityananda then instructed him to go to Vrindavan, and there all things would be attained. And as soon as Krishna awoke, he was just in ecstasy. He was just totally in ecstasy. And he cried, and basically his hair stood on end, and he showed symptoms of bhava, or prema. And immediately he left everything, and immediately he went to Vrindavan. So that dream was a totally life-changing experience. You can come in with the chair. Please bring it in. You can sit here or...
Sorry, Marge.
No, don't say sorry. Just sit down and be quiet. Because otherwise my brain gets lost, because I'm trying to... It's not an open lecture, it's like a structured lecture. But I have no notes, so I have to do it from my mind. So I need to concentrate. So these three points, why Krishnadas was the chosen writer, I've given now. First one, because he stayed a long time in Vrindavan, trained by the Goswamis. Second, because he heard of the later pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the lost diary of Sri Damodar Goswami via Raghunath Das, who had memorized that diary. And third thing, because he was a great realized devotee of the teachings. He was like living the teachings himself. And everyone knew that Krishnadas was such a Vaishnava. You know, like at that time he was in the maturity of his age, right? Somewhere in from the mid to the late 60s, that's when he first started work on the CC. Whether that was 30 years of uninterrupted writing or what. Of course, writing was more slow in that time than now, because it was not the information age. And to assemble all the information and all the quotes, if we're looking at the CC, there's in the back of the book, right, you will find many things that give us an overview of which scriptures are quoted. You have the index where Amritavani is looking at, but there is also another index which says scriptures quoted, and and that gives an idea. She can't find what to do, but basically there is a lot of scholarship behind the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it's not at all just a biography about the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes when we talk Chaitanya Charitamrita, people think, ah, nice, now we're going to speak pastimes. There should be a rule that it's forbidden to come late. But now that you've come, I will apply the rule next time and lock the door. If I give again, next week, whoever is not here at 7 o'clock will find the door locked. And merciless German 7 o'clock, another minute, listen, because it's too disturbing. And, anyway, so that was a kind of quick introduction why Krishnadas Kaviraj is the writer of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. From the chapter, we'll gain some more insights. So I'll go to the chapter now. I was mentioning that the Chaitanya Charitamrita shows a lot of scholarship and that it's quoted very widely from many scriptures. And without a computer, that takes a lot more time, even to get the manuscripts. So many times, you know, it wasn't that all the manuscripts were available everywhere. So it was quite... Of course, Krishnadas must have been collecting verses throughout his life, because he was not young at the time. So he must have kept information, and he had good access to the Goswami works. But he went way beyond also. So obviously a lot of work behind the Chaitanya Charitamrita to collect all that evidence. Because the Chaitanya Charitamrita is not just a book about pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, it is a book that establishes Lord Chaitanya's teachings. It does three things. It shows that the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and the teachings of the Goswamis are the same, and that these are the same as the teachings of the Bhagavatam. So in this way, it establishes a whole authorized foundation. Because scholars have the tendency to kind of divide these up and say what the Bhagavatam says is one thing. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said is another thing. What the six Goswamis said was again another thing. It's something like modern philosophers, you know, like Socrates said one thing, then his disciple Plato changed things and his own twist on things, and then his disciple Aristotle changed it around again. And in three generations, you get three philosophies. But that's not what we're seeing with the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're seeing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Goswamis, and then going back to the Bhagavatam, that these are all in line. Of course, that's not new to us, because that's called parampara. But he establishes parampara. He just doesn't say there is parampara, and this is the line of the cyclic succession, but he shows with evidence how it's all consistent. And that way he established the theological conclusion. So it's a highly scholarly work. So therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is recognized by mundane scholars. The Chaitanya Charitamrita is the most recognized book. It's like there are even Chaitanya Charitamrita temples where the book is on the altar in Bengal and being worshipped. So it is by far considered to be the most prominent scripture. That was the idea, because, you know, Krishnadas Kaviraj, he completed it somewhere in around 1615, 1660, which is like a long time after 1486. Right? If you just look at the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it says Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived 48 years, and in India they count the birthdays different than they count in the West, because they say from 0 to 1, you're 1 year old, and from 1 to 2, you're 2 years old, and from 2 to 3, you're 3 years old, because you're in your third year, so you're 3, that's how they count in India, and Prabhupada used to count like that. That's why Prabhupada, when he would say his age, he would always say 1 year older than actually approved to the passport. And therefore, and it said Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was 48 years on the planet. Therefore, scholars have determined that he didn't leave from in 1534, but he left in 1533, actually, because the count of this 1 year. All right, so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life had been covered by other biographers. The first one was Murari Gupta. He wrote the first diary, known as his Kadacha, Murari's Kadacha, or also known as the Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya. That book is the foundation for all the other biographical works. Everyone follows the chronology of the early pastimes, and like, for example, Chaitanya Bhagavat, which was written later, follows Murari's diary. Murari started his diary when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Navadvip in 1510. In 1510, when he took sannyas, that's when Navadvip stopped. Navadvip just sort of dried up. It just overnight, it was over. And some couldn't handle it. Srivas couldn't handle it, and he moved away. He moved away from there. He just couldn't stay there any longer. So in this way, and Murari Gupta, he basically stayed alive by writing the diary. So he started writing the diary about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. But he only also knew the Navadvip part and a little bit of hearsay for the rest. So then Chaitanya Bhagavat followed, and it was much more elaborate, and it was much more getting into the ecstatic symptoms of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you read the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's like the hair stand on end, and the tears are shooting in all directions, and there's rolling on the ground, and ecstatic kirtans, and it's just like very ecstatic, and really a very ecstatic book to read. And it's very much pastimes, and not so much philosophy. What Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote is very much philosophy and pastimes. He's saying, out of deference and due respect to Vrindavan Das Thakur, he is not going to touch upon the pastimes he's already written, just for context. He's shortly mentioning some of them. But otherwise, he is describing pastimes, especially that Chaitanya Bhagavat doesn't cover. He focuses on that. So in the first part, in the Adi Lila, first he establishes Panchatattva. He quotes verses about the Panchatattva in the first 14 verses, and then he elaborates on these first 14 verses in 7 chapters. So that you've all discussed, I guess. And basically, 14 verses explains in 7 chapters. And then it ends with... and that describes Guru Tattva. Vande Gurun Isa Bhaktam Isam Avataram. It describes the spiritual master, the devotees of the spiritual master, and then the various forms of the Lord. The Lord himself, the avatars of the Lord. So it describes the devotee, the spiritual master. Then it describes the Panchatattva, which are like the 5 manifestations of the Lord. Panchatattva is important to understand. Panchatattva is... these are our worshipable deities. And Panchatattva is first explained by Kavi Karnapur in the Gauraganadesh Deepika. There it comes up, and he quotes from Sarup Damodar's diary. And he basically says that Krishna appeared with these 5 tattvas. So Krishna appeared as the Swayam Bhagavan, the original Supreme Lord. Then he expands himself as his Vaibhav Prakash Rupa, Balaram, who is the same as him, but yet in a different form, but who has the same potency. Then you get the next level, you get the avatar, yes? You get avatars of Krishna, 4 and Vishnu forms, and so on. And then you get the Shakti Tattva, the Shakti Avesh personalities. You also get Radharani, you get all these kind of Shaktis of Krishna. And then you get to Jiva Tattva, Shriva, I'm talking Krishna there. So you get also Jiva Tattva in the form of the Manjaris. Now, in the Pancha Tattva, it all comes back, the same thing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, original Supreme Lord, Nityananda is immediate expansion, the same. Advaita Acharya, the avatar, Gadadhar, the Shakti Tattva, expansion of Radharani's energy. And we know from Radhastami, I hope we know, because I said it, that Radharani expands herself into many, many forms, just as Krishna expands himself into many, many forms. From Krishna come the Narayan features, from Radharani comes Mahalakshmi, comes all the gopis, all the queens in Dwarka, ultimately all expand from her. So that goes through all these tattvas, as you can see. Krishna, first tattva, second Balaram, third the avatar, then the Shakti, and then the Jiva. So these show in the Pancha Tattva. So it's Kavi Karnapur who makes this point that it's the same as what appeared with Krishna. The same Pancha Tattva appeared with Krishna and now appears with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's very important that we understand that. Because here we are, you know, our main deities in Mayapur, in our main temple, and the biggest ones in the movement are the Panchatattva, and we all Panchatattva pictures. I got a Panchatattva coin from one of my disciples, although I didn't pay for it, but anyway, I got it. What to do? I don't deserve it. But Panchatattva, 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 we always talk Panchatattva. And okay, we sort of know Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, okay, Advaita, Gadadhar, and Srivas, but we should understand that these same tattvas exist with Krishna. That's very important. Okay? So in these, that is elaborately described in these first seven chapters. Then it ends with the with this whole Mayavadi pastimes, which is quoted out of chronology, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't even appear yet. He only appears in chapter 13 of Adi Lila, right? And like the Mayavadis, he defeats much later, when he's a sannyasi. So that's way in the Madhya Lila. Right? Then he comes to Varanasi, and it's already... So it doesn't belong there in the Adi Lila. It's out of chronology. But it is put there because Sankaracharya was preaching about Panchupasana, five truths. And this Panchupasana is, you have a deity, there's five features of the impersonal absolute truth. So sometimes you see these nice posters of Krishna and there's an Om sign above Krishna. That's Mayavad. Those are the Mayavad posters. They're not for us. Gaudiyas. We don't want that Om sign there. Because in Vrindavan, there is a temple. It is the temple of Pagal Baba. I don't know if you know what Pagal Baba means, but maybe you know that much Hindi. Pagal?
Pagal is crazy.
Now you know. Pagal Baba. And he is sort of crazy Baba. So somehow or other, he built a big temple. Yeah. And it's not my point to, you know, criticize him. That's not the issue. But my point is, the temple is a Panchupasana temple. The lowest level of Panchupasana, the five types of worship of Sankaracharya, is lowest level is the Shaktas, the Durga worshippers. Huh? So then one level up from the Shaktas is the Suryas, the sun worshippers. The Shaktas worship Kali and worship the ghastly feature of material nature, try to pacify the ghastliness. That's why it's the lowest. One level up is the Suryas, who are looking at the positive, life-giving energy of the sun, the prana, the Shakti in the universe. Therefore, even Reiki people are actually Suryas. Yeah? just that, you know, that's what they are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Ganapatyas is the next level up in the Panchapasa. That is worshipping a personal deity, but for material benefit. So it's like worship with a small objective in mind. That is the worship of Ganapati. Then one level up is the worship of the Lingam, which is Shiva, and basically shows Lord Shiva as the creator, not as the destroyer, but as the one from whom, as Mahavishnu, who impregnates the material, the pradana, which is the non-manifest material energy during the night of Brahma. Then at the beginning of the day of Brahma, Mahavishnu glances on the material energy, Sadashiva enters Sad into the glands, touches the pradana, and the transformation takes place, and the Madhatattva becomes manifest. All the material energies will manifest. In this, that is the Lingam. And at that point, by the glands of Mahavishnu, through Shambhu, Sadashiva, all the living entities are placed in the universe. And therefore, it's a Lingam. Therefore, it's a male and a female form, right? With the idea here, the impregnation took place of the living beings in the material energy. Okay, that's Shiva. And then, when all that dissolves again, then it all turns back to nothing. And that is why the impersonalists like to take this symbol of the Lingam from how matter comes into being and how matter then dissolves again and return, and it all returns to Brahman. So that's why Sankaracharya used this philosophy of the Lingam as an essential element of Mayavada philosophy. And then finally, we had Durga, we had Surya, we had Ganesh, we had Shiva, and finally Lord Vishnu is there in the Panchapasana temple. So these five deities are found. And then Sankaracharya says, these five deities then are five manifestations of the impersonal truth. So why does Krishna Das Kaviraj put this whole Mayavad story after the Panchatattva? Because people are used to this Panchapasana. They've heard it, so as soon as you say Panchatattva, yes, we know more than that. Yes, Panchapasana. Yes. It's all one. Yes. Five manifestations of the Lord. Yes, we know this. Like this, right? You know how it is. And therefore, Krishna Das just put the whole pastime out of context. Boom. Before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, suddenly these Mayavadis are there in the Adi. Anyway, after that all was done, Krishna Das introduces a few more verses about the Panchatattva, and then he introduces himself as why he's writing. Now, normally, just for the sake of a normal flow of a book, you would introduce yourself. He would introduce that part first, the writer and the reason why he wrote the book. Because you look at the book through the writer. Yeah? So from that perspective, it doesn't make sense at all to put that in chapter 8. He should have put it in chapter 1. But how could he put it in chapter 1 when first he had to offer respect to all these superior personalities? So therefore, Vande Gurum, Isa Bhaktam, Isa Avataram, and so on. Isa Bhaktam, Tat Shaktim, Tat Prakasam. Right? All these he's worshipping first. Right? So that when that's complete, only then can he introduce himself as the writer. Which he know he should do so that people can understand more about the nature of the book. That's why he's introducing himself. Okay, so now we quickly look at the chapter, since I'm supposed to finish soon. Of course, I can start on time and I can finish late. That's also possible. That's allowed by my rules. But you're not allowed to come late. Very bad. Yeah, so we get a number of verses which describe the glories of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, of the Panchatattva, sorry. It says things like the education cultivated by so-called learned scholars who, in text 6, who do not believe these statements of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is like the tumultuous croaking of frogs. So, Prabhupada goes right after the academics, university professors, and says it's just croaking like frogs. One who does not accept the glories, this is text 7, of Panchatattva, but still makes a show of devotional service to Krishna, can never achieve the mercy of Krishna or advance to the earth's ultimate goal. So that is very important. Just a little earlier, Prabhupada also pointed out, in text 4, that at all preaching programs or whenever there's chanting of Hare Krishna, first Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Veda Kadada Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivedanta has to be chanted. Okay. And then, yeah. He says a few things about, he gives an example of Jarasandha, who followed the Vedic rituals very strictly but didn't accept Lord Vishnu. And then in text 9 he says, one who does not accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is certainly a demon. Similarly, anyone who doesn't accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna, the same Supreme Lord, is also considered a demon. Now, I imagine, you know, the great-great-grandmother of Vibhu Chaitanya, a nice Gujarati lady, yeah, very pious, yeah, somewhere living in which place in Gujarat?
I'm sorry.
Okay, whatever he said. Something sorry. In that place, you know, she surely was a great devotee of Krishna, as many Gujaratis are. And but are they worshiping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? No, then they're all demons. Is it? So, when we read these kind of scriptures, we are meant to use our brains. Okay? And we are meant to kind of try and understand what is being said and not just repeat it in a fundamentalist way. This verse opens the door to fundamentalist thinking and fundamentalist approach. And there are certainly more kind of fundamentalist verses. I can give another example, and that is like, if anything, whether religious or irreligious, if it is not devotional service, is, oh God, the world, now I forgot. I should really lock that door. Should do full dandavas and recycle the mantras out loud just to make sure that I even forget more where I was. Why couldn't you come at 7?
There's a program,
actually.
Too much preaching.
Stay there. okay, I'll try again. Anything religious or irreligious, whether I lost the concentration completely. I can't bring it back.
You're giving an example.
No, I know where I am. I just forgot the verse. I can't remember the verse. But I am at this verse, which is could be explained in a fundamentalist way. And there are other examples of that, but because of external circumstances, we can temporarily not present that. Sorry for that.
I can quote it, maybe. National Center quote. Can I say it?
What? You have it there?
The greatest ignorance consists of activities, whether religious or irreligious, that are opposed to devotional service. They are known to be as sins. 361 Adilila. National
sinful. So it's like he's saying basically, activities, whether religious or irreligious, right? If it's not devotional service, they're sinful. So that's all like, again, you know, can easily be seen as extremely fundamentalist. Now, I don't see that verse, the last one, as fundamentalist. I see it rather as ecstatic. I think Krishna's coverage is just so ecstatic, you know, that like in his ecstasy here it's like, you know, devotional service and anything else, you know, it's like just like yuck, you know. It's just sinful, come on, you know. It's just, you see, it's not at all fundamentalist, it's ecstatic. That's how I explain that verse. And this verse, of course, also has that element in it, you know, the ecstasy of Krishna's coverage, how anything that's not Krishna conscious is not so if really if I give a class again next week, you know, it's got to be everybody in time, and after that not welcome, you know, otherwise, because I had like 10 disturbances and you'll notice it on the tape, 10 times I lost track. Each time someone opened the door. So we love everyone, but because I'm doing something without PowerPoint, with just all off the top of my head, and it requires full concentration. But we understand this verse, I understand it in this way, that one who doesn't accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is certainly a demon. Similarly, anyone who doesn't accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna, the same Supreme Lord, is able to be considered a demon. I'm not talking about the nice Gujarati ladies, but I'm talking about people when they are presented with the evidence and who then don't accept their demons. Then there are even some Gujarati demons also. Because devotees and demons are found all over the universe. So that is something. Then I want to go a little further. Yeah. So, of course, in Krishna Das Kaviraj's time, there were many logicians. And if you want to again come to this class next week, then if you're not there at 7, you'll find the door locked and teeth on the door that will bite you if you get from here. The railway station. So, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Daya, Koraha Vichara, Vichara Karida, Chitta Pava Chamatkar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, basically, Krishna does a saying here. Logicians say, unless one gains understanding through logic and argument, how can one decide upon a worshipable deity? And then Krishna does says, if you indeed are interested in logic and argument, kindly apply it to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you do so, you will find it to be strikingly wonderful. So this is what we are looking at. We're looking at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, particularly at his mercy. And we're trying to understand what that mercy is. Now, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is a book which is basically gradually revealing Krishna Prema. As we are looking at it, in the Adi Leela, it is there, but it's covered. In the Madhya Leela, it gradually becomes quantified. First, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu travels through South India, discusses with Venkatabhata about the difference between Lakshmi Narayan worship and Radha and Krishna. He said, why was Lakshmi performing austerities to enter into Krishna's pastimes? So this makes the point that Radha and Krishna worship is higher. Then next thing is a meeting at the end of the South Indian tour with Ramananda Roy, where in detail this whole thing is described, the philosophy of that we know of Raja Bhakti, and how in Vrindavan there's also a hierarchy, the gopis on the top and the Radharani the topmost, and so on. So we've understood something about the philosophy now of praying. First, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shows praying, but there's no philosophy, just ecstatic villages and so on. Then we get the philosophy through Ramananda Roy. Then we get Ratiyatra, and what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He's showing the mood of Radharani, pulling Krishna back to Vrindavan. Then it shows all the praying. Then after that, we see chapters, he goes to Vrindavan to experience the praying, and so on. So, then in the Antya Leela, we are again getting a deeper insight into that. Then we get some chapters on Vaishnav behavior, so that we are not prematurely jumping to the praying, but in that way, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is gradually revealing Krishna praying. So that is really the mercy. When we speak about, if you're interested in to apply your intelligence to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is that mercy, that he reveals Krishna praying. And not only that, but very, very widely, to all kinds of people, even those who are not qualified, and so on. So he shows the highest to the most fallen, very broadly. And suddenly, what was happening, manushyanam sahasresu, out of many thousands among men, hardly one endeavors for perfection, and out of those, hardly one will attain perfection. Well, one in a million, that's over. It's no longer like that. It's no longer like that. That's behind. That's not the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now, everyone is becoming ecstatic. Everyone. Now, that verse of Bhagavad Gita is left behind. Now, so many devotees, everywhere, and more coming. And day by day, they're getting more ecstatic as well. And that, of course, you find in, if you go along that line of reasoning, what I just spoke, you will, in this mood, you will see Prabodhananda Saraswati, Chaitanya Chandramrita, which describes how ecstatic everyone has become because of the movement of Lord Chaitanya. So that's an offshoot of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, an extension which you can read. There are some books leading up to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Murari Gupta's diary, Chaitanya Bhagavat, and then we get some, we get the CC, we get some offshoots like in Chaitanya Chandramrita expands, not time-wise, but in terms of philosophy. Okay, I don't want to prolong it now, I just won't steal too much extra time, I just want to go to the things that lead up to the writing of the book. So, we just looked at the beginning of the chapter which describes the importance of Panchatattva and how this should always be offered respect. So, you know, first, in text 33, it says, O fools, just reach Sri Chaitanya Mango. By reading this book, you can understand all the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mangal was later renamed Chaitanya Bhagavat because another person also, Lochan Das Thakur, wrote a book called Sri Chaitanya Mangal. That caused confusion. The acharyas called this then the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which gave more authority to the to this biography, because the Bhagavat was kind of reminding, we're dealing here with Vyasadeva. Vrindavan Das is none other than Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva gave us the Bhagavat as the essence of all Vedic literature. Now that same conclusion of the Bhagavat is coming in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's why the Bhagavat, Chaitanya Bhagavat. And then Krishna Das is glorifying it in a whole series of verses. And see, in Sri Chaitanya Mangal, later known as Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, that's in brackets, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has given the conclusion and essence of devotional service by quoting the authoritative statements of Srimad Bhagavatam. See? I'm not making it up, but I said, no, I'm saying here's the evidence of what I basically said before. Mm-hmm. So he carries on. So he's in the next verse, he's giving respect to Vrindavan Das Thakur, not writing again to show that he can even give deeper insights and conclusions. No. Then in Vrindavan, in a place of pilgrimage, this is text 15, in a great place of pilgrimage, underneath the desire trees, is a golden throne bedecked with jewels. On that throne, the son of Nanda Maharaj, Sri Govindadev, sits Nanda, the son of Nanda Maharaj, Sri Govindadev, the transcendental Cupid. Varieties of majestic service are rendered to Govindadev. His garments, ornaments, and paraphernalia are all transcendental. In that temple of Govindaji, thousands of servitors are always rendering service to the Lord in devotion. Even with thousands of mouths, one cannot describe this service. In this temple, the chief servitor was Sri Haridas Pandit. His qualities and fame are known all over the world. Sri Haridas Pandit was a disciple of Sri Ananta Acharya, who was a disciple of Kedara Pandit. He was gentle, tolerant, peaceful, magnanimous, grave, sweet in words, and very sober in his endeavors. He was respectful to everyone and worked for the benefit of all. Diplomacy, envy, and jealousy were unknown to his heart. The 50 qualities of Lord Krishna were all present in his body. It is described that a devotee can partially realize up to 50 of the 64 qualities of Krishna. So that means he was the topmost Uttama Adhikari, Mahabhagavat, right? Very clearly. So, then he describes Ananta Acharya, a disciple of Kedara Pandit. While he was always absorbed in love of Godhead, is magnanimous and advanced in all respects. So, and Pandit Haridas was his beloved desire. Disciple Pandit Haridas had great faith in Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. Therefore, he took great satisfaction in knowing about their pastimes and qualities. He always accepted the good qualities of the Vaishnavas and never found fault in them. Engaged his heart and soul only to satisfy the Vaishnavas. And he also heard the reading of Sri Chaitanya Mangala. And all the other Vaishnavas used to hear it by his grace. By his causeless mercy, he ordered me to write about the last pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, text 65. And there it begins then. We know that there were some others who also asked. So in this way, he didn't just write on his own. So this is again proper. One should write, a Vaishnava should write upon invitation. upon of senior Vaishnavas, then one should write. Of course, there may be general orders also. Like, for example, Prabhupada gave a general order that that anyone in the renounced order must make a literary contribution. So I'm sweating. It's intense. Finally, so he was recognized by the Vaishnavas and requested to do this by the Vaishnavas. He approached it, and still he was hesitant. But he went before the deity, and from the deity fell a garland upon him, and that, of course, was sort of just as he went there praying for a confirmation, you know, like praying for a sign. Then a garland fell at the deity, and Pujarika gave it immediately to him. And okay, then he took it. Yes, I should really do this. And that was in the temple of Madan Mohan. So I think that's really. And he says, actually, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is not my writing, but the dictation of Sri Madan Mohan. My writing is like the repetition of a parrot. See, so just like Prabhupada, who was reading the Krishna book, and then the devotees said, oh, you enjoy reading your own book? And Prabhupada said, this is not my book. I didn't write this book. Krishna dictated this book. So we see. But Prabhupada was sitting there with the commentaries of the acharyas on his desk. And Prabhupada was looking at these commentaries, and he was like very carefully looking at each verse and working it in. And Prabhupada was clearly using his own intelligence. He wasn't sitting in a trance. And the words just flowed into his dictaphone. Right? So, in the same way, we should also take it that Krishnadas Kaviraj was having books on his desk, and if you really analyze Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can even see which books were on his desk at which time. Kanna Swami also has to interrupt me. Also ego. But we understand that Krishnadas was very intellectually engaged in writing the book. If we'd have time, we could prove that with many examples. Still, he very much sees himself like a wooden doll who is made to dance by a magician. As a wooden doll is made to dance by a magician, I write as Madan Gopal orders me to do so. He's very careful when he writes. Sometimes he mentions that I have very little understanding of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I can just basically repeat what I've heard, but I cannot really give explanations because I don't understand. Of course, elsewhere in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he writes that as different birds fly on different levels in the sky, there are different levels of realization of the Absolute Truth. And obviously he's flying high in the sky. We also know who Krishnadas Kaviraj is from the Gaura Kaladesh Deepika. He is Kasturi Manjari. He is one of the intimate associates of Rupa Goswami. So we see that connection that exists in Vrindavan also exists on another plane. That's there again. So that is a very deep connection. I accept as my family deity Madan Mohan, whose worshippers are Raghunathas Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, and Sanatan Goswami. And in that way, he is establishing basically the connections that have led him to be able to write this book, the connection with Raghunath Das Goswami, with Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and the mercy of Madan Mohan. Took permission from Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. I'm foolish, low-born, and insignificant, and I always desire material enjoyment. Yet by the order of the Vaishnavas, I am greatly enthusiastic to write this literature. And Krishna Das is making the point that he is particularly, he doesn't make it here, but later, that he's particularly writing for purification. And that is also a Vaishnava attitude, that we said, we just basically write for our self-purification. We're not writing to purify the world, you know, or to just to cast some pearls to the swines, you know, and see if these swines will possibly be able to appreciate it. I doubt it. But anyway, I'm writing them anyway. Okay? Not in that way, but with great humility. So in that way, the adhikar of the writer is there, the empowerment of the writer. So we can see that Krishna Das Kaviraj is a great empowered writer, empowered in learning, empowered in realization, empowered by the best of teachers, empowered by some connection with those who witness the most intimate pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, empowered by respecting Vrindavan Das Thakur as the authorized biographer, as Vyas, and in that way, he is able to write such an authorized literature. Now there is a scholarly work about the Chaitanya Charitamrita, an academic work, and in that book is called The Final Word. And although it is an academic book and it is not devotional, and basically the writer of the academic book makes two major points. One is very good and the other one is very bad. Yeah? So I'll first mention the very good point. Yeah? And the very good point is when he calls the Chaitanya Charitamrita the final word, he understood something. That the Chaitanya Charitamrita incorporates the philosophy of all the previous Gaudiyas, of all the previous biographies and books, and brings them all together in a final conclusion. Like, for example, Chaitanya Bhagavat gives you descriptions about the Panchatattva, but it will not mention once the Panchatattva as one unit. So you get descriptions about Advaita Acharya, descriptions about Nityananda, descriptions about all the members of the Panchatattva individually, and describing their great qualities. Yeah? But you're not getting that concept that they are a unit. And as a unit, that there is also a interaction amongst them. That there's relationships amongst them. That you don't see. When you understand the unit of Panchatattva, you begin to see this one relates to that one. You can see that Advaita Acharya is accepting Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda like his superiors. Yeah. You can understand Gadadhar, who is just crying on his Bhagavatam. Hmm. Right? And you can understand him, and he can't even read it anymore. Srinivas went there later to hear the Bhagavatam from Gadadhar, but it wasn't possible because Gadadhar had cried too much on his manuscript, so they couldn't read from it anymore. Yeah. That is Bhakti Ratnakara. Yeah. So all these amazing things are there. So we must look at the Chaitanya Charitamrita as a book written by a great ecstatic Prema Bhakta who has realized the full conclusions of what he's writing. And therefore it becomes surcharged with that transcendental potency on all levels, even when he describes the most advanced things. And that's obviously his qualification. And yet we see in him the greatest humility and very carefully embarking upon writing Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay, I'm 15 minutes over. Any questions, any comments? Yeah.
You were talking about the book called The Final Word, and you said the one good thing was...
Oh, I didn't say the bad thing?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, it's the Vaishnava habit, you know? We just say the good things. But the bad thing about the final word, and the writer is Tony K. Stewart, who's a scholar from Chicago. The bad thing is that he cannot see the purity of Krishnadas Kaviraj, nor of the Alpha Goswamis, and that he sees the Chaitanya Charitamrita more as a political ploy of the Vrindavan Vaishnavas who are trying to assert their influence over all the other groups, and that Krishnadas is a great scholar, writes the book very intelligently and in that way manages to establish the Vrindavan school as the leading school. Yeah? So he got that wrong, unfortunately. He couldn't read the pure motives. And he couldn't understand that Krishnadas is a realized Vaishnava. Although I gave the evidence, which he overlooked, from chapter 5, the dream. Because no one can have such an ecstatic response to a dream as Krishnadas had, which is the evidence for his exalted state. In my CC book, which is unwritten, that part is mentioned. But it's there in many of the courses that I've given. So, and that spoils, of course, the whole book for devotee reading. Only for scholarly reasons, we use it as a reference book, so we can respond to it. Yeah, so that I can say there's a good point and a bad point. But he's right with the final word. He's got it. The Chaitanya Charitamrita is the last word. After that, basically, the Gaudiya Vaishnava conclusions, what the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have been established. And there's no one going to argue about it anymore. This is the last word on it. Yeah? And everyone refers back to the CC. And now if anybody comes, then he's out. Because we have the Bhakti Kalpataru coming next, right? Starting with chapter 9. And you see how all the branches spread of all the devotees preaching. And there are two sides to that. One is, which is, I have not read this, but that's my opinion. Yeah? That's what I think Krishnadas Kaviraj did. It's logical. That he didn't just show how the movement of Lord Chaitanya expanded, but he also put a fence around it by saying, this is the Chaitanya tree. And anybody who claims to be a big devotee of Lord Chaitanya, who wasn't mentioned there, he wasn't very prominent at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. So he's in this way, sort of said, who's in and who's out, with these four chapters of the Chaitanya tree. So that's very important. So Krishnadas' work is doing two things. It establishes the movement as the of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It establishes the proper understanding of the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and rules out all kinds of false interpretations, of which there are many. And it it becomes, the teachings become the predominant teachings of in Bengal, because he writes in Bengali. See? He doesn't write in Sanskrit. Everyone wrote in Sanskrit. Kavi Karnapur wrote in Sanskrit. Gauri Ganadesh Deepika, but he writes in Bengal. So everyone in Bengal can read. And but his evidence is Sanskrit. Quotes Sanskrit evidence. So he quotes Sanskrit, but he writes in Bengal. And in that way, he's like, suddenly everyone can read. And they're reading, you know, something so solid that there's just no one can argue with it. So therefore, everyone basically, this established the authority of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Then, of course, there's still all kinds of groups that are trying to establish other conclusions, but the CC defeats it. For example, there is a group that is trying to say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Advaita Acharya is the great personality. He is the one. It is, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is his follower. He learned from Advaita Acharya, was his student. So this is like coming in the Advaita Parivar, in the family of Advaita. Yeah. Now that is a deviation which Krishna Das has exposed, and Prabhupada in the purports has further explained. So in West Bengal, I'm giving a little preview, but when we're looking at the Chaitanya tree, then we see the root is Madhavendra Puri, then 9 sannyasis who are like Madhavendra Puri's disciples, then the trunk, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then at the top the trunk splits in 2, Advaita Acharya and Nityananda. So then we see in Bengal, we see these 2 parivars. You see what they said? Either Nityananda Vamsa or Advaita Vamsa. You had to be in the line, you had to be born in these families to be a guru. You had to be a descendant. And the disciples, they would become the family of the Nityananda Vamsa. So you have Nityananda Vamsa and Nityananda Parivar. Advaita Vamsa, Advaita Parivar. Vamsa means you've been born in the family, you're a guru by birth. In Vrindavan temple, we had a brahmachari, and he was from a guru family, in the Vamsa line. So once a year, he had to go to his village, and they offer guru puja. It's something like being a chief, you know, like from a family of a chief. We had Palananda, right? He had to go to his village once a year to be the chief and receive some worship or whatever, some tributes. Same like that. Yeah, so, and then you had the Advaita Vamsa, Advaita Parivar. So this Advaita Parivar, they wrote so many books, especially them, about how Advaita Acharya did all these miracles and did all this and all these amazing things, how great he was and so on, without any authority. Just to sort of tip the balance, make Advaita Acharya greater than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Charitamrita just eliminates these things. And even although it continues to exist, they've just been pushed into the sidelines. They've been sidelined by the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So just that we understand what we're looking at, we're not just looking at, oh, CC, so nice. The stories about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu I like so much. No, I also like so much, but there's a lot more. It's our very foundation. It's the foundation on which this building stands. It's the foundation on which our life stands. It's on that authority that we can claim to be Vaishnavas. All these things are there. Okay, yeah?
Thanks, Guru Maharaj. You mentioned that Swarup Damodar, the secretary of Krishna Das Kaviraj,
Of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yes, he wrote a diary, and the diary got lost.
Yeah.
Then, okay, and then he said, Raghunath Goswami Das memorized it, but
But later you also mentioned that Murari Gupta.
Not Murari Gupta, Kavi Karnapur.
Oh, also wrote a diary about.
Murari wrote a diary about early pastimes.
Yes.
And Kavi Karnapur quoted some things from the diary of Sarup Damodar. And how he got it,
okay.
Nobody knows.
The point of Kaviraj Goswami explaining Panchatattva, so one doesn't get confused about with Sankaracharya's
Panchapasana.
So, I mean, are we supposed to find out about these other false arguments that
Prabhupada is explaining Panchapasana in his books? So there's no problem.
Already.
You don't need to go to read Sankaracharya's book. No one. Only if one has special authority of spiritual master can read those books, and you don't have. Any other question?
Do I get a question? Sorry. It's just, you were mentioning about how in writing we are not throwing pearls to swans. But sometimes I'm thinking, all the writings for our purification, you have to also consider the audience and how much they can receive and method of delivery. So how do you balance that with writing for our own purification?
Depends who you're writing for, no? When the six Goswamis wrote, who did they write for? They wrote for the Mahabhagavats. They wrote some books for Mahabhagavats. Great devotees. Maybe not the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is giving us an overview of the process of devotional service. And it gives us the beginning stages and very advanced stages. But then you get like Raghunath Das Goswami wrote some books which are meant for liberated souls. So that. And they wrote about Radha Krishna and so many things. And so did Krishna discoveries. Govinda Lilamrita is also very advanced. Describes Astakarya Lila, the eight pastimes of Krishna during the day and night, Radha and Krishna. It describes intimate meetings. It describes loving exchanges quite graphically. I think one has to be really advanced to read Govinda Lilamrita. It's really for those who are liberated from lust. That's a tall, it's a tall order to get that money. So now, pearl before the swine, so you can write for different audiences. But we cannot write beyond our realization. If you write above your realization, you can only start quoting. So therefore, we'll find our natural audience. Yeah, you should write. Any comments, questions?
Amazing.
Okay, well, I have another presentation of the Chaitanya Charitamrita which doesn't relate to this format or this course. You know what I'm saying? I teach it in my own way, and it's different because I don't do a chapter by chapter overview. I rather draw some major lines through the CC, and that I have underbuilt with PowerPoints and so on. And but that's not a. It takes more time to teach that course. That's takes some. Yeah, I think some 28 hours of teaching. To actually get that across. So that we can't do right now. But from memory I've tried to sort of pull things from here and there. But as you can see, I'm easily distracted. And then get very annoyed. Have all these late comments. Have mercy upon me. I was staying in good mood. So I don't mind doing it again next week, but I really request you to be here at 7. Or else listen to the tape. And 7 doesn't mean 5, so I'm Dutch. And I'll put, and Nimai will take the time. He's German, and in Germany, when they say they're going to leave at 7, right? Then some minutes before 7, everyone goes down to the car, puts all the luggage in the car, and they sit in the car. And at 7, and when I don't laugh yet. And when the hand of the seconds reaches 7. The car was already started, but then, you know, they drive away. That's German. That's Paka German. I know in South Africa that's a joke. But when I tell them about you, yeah, they laugh also. But I'm in Germany. Then I just do just the opposite way. In South Africa. And then all the Germans are laughing at him. No, but it's hard to concentrate for someone with a weak brain like mine. People, was it okay? Is there something I left out that you feel you want highlighted?
Basically covered it.
I think you have to finish the course march. It's like very difficult to move from this now.
Now I have to finish my book. But it's only the second book. I first have to finish the first one, and then that's the second. Which will have many volumes. But I'm planning to start a website where I start posting some articles, which will later come in the book. Okay. And some research material, and like that, resource. So, to make a beginning, because I might die before I finish it. Not that I want to invoke suspiciousness, but I'm going very slow. But in the next few years, I'm planning to do more writing, and less ratiatros, and less festivals, and less acts. So maybe then I'll write some books. Yeah. See, my last CD was called Metamorphosis. Just happening now. Okay, any questions?
How many chapters do you still have to go from my life? From the book, the first one.
The Chaitanya Charitamrita has 17 chapters in the Adi Lila. It has 25 chapters in the Madhya Lila,
no, I mean,
and it has 20 chapters in the My book, who knows? It's too early to say that.
Oh.
It's coming. That's another day. Today is Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Okay.
One day I could speak about my book and ban all the phones and tape recorders and, and make everyone solemnly swear not to quote anything on Facebook or anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Then I can speak about my book. But I don't know if that's possible in this day. Maybe I'm asking for more than can be realized. So I'll speak with my advisor. Privately. Yeah. I know you don't want to go. But then you have to ask questions.
This verse about applying one's logic to to Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Is it supposed to be logical eventually?
A little louder first.
Does it come to a point where it doesn't make any sense or something? I don't understand this.
It means if you logically try to understand the truth, the absolute truth. And now you can see that there are so many philosophers and they have so many ideas and so on about what is the truth of the world, what is the goal of life, you know. I mean, there's an article of a MIT professor which is in a book of Bhaktisvarupa-Damodara Maharaj. About the synthesis, confluence of synthesis of science and religion. And these books are interesting, and this professor, Joseph Weizenbaum, he's from MIT, which is the IT University of America, Massachusetts Institute for Technology. And he is basically explaining that science is a religion. Because science has its canons, its books, right? It has its priests. He said, but one thing science was missing for a long time was a deity. Right? Yes, men were worshipping products of science, but yet, like the car was being worshipped by so many, but it was lacking that kind of transcendental, this kind of superhuman element. But then the computer came. And the computer, in one way, was greater than man. The computer can do things that man cannot do, especially about thinking the supercomputer and so on, you know, these huge things. Therefore, thus the computer became like a perfect deity for science. And now science as a religion was complete. And maybe in the evolution, and then he's sort of playing games, right? He says, maybe in the evolution, man has played its part. And maybe now, the computers will continue. And one day, mankind will be the dinosaurs and there will only be bones left in museums, and everything will be run by computers because the purpose, he writes, the purpose of evolution then is being fulfilled to increase knowledge. So here's a professor playing, right? A professor playing. That's obviously what it is. But it's interesting because he plays according to his own psychological realm. And in his realm, he's after all a jnani, he's a professor. Therefore, it's not surprising that he puts the ultimate goal of the evolution as knowledge. But of course, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is putting the ultimate goal of the evolution the ultimate goal of any endeavor, the ultimate goal of all development, as spiritual. And not only as spiritual, but as pure, ecstatic, transcendental love of God. And it explains how that manifests in all its ways. And therefore, if you apply yourself to the logic, you can see Professor Weizenbaum did well with his logic. He was just playing in a logical way. He wasn't so serious, but he was, you know, doing an interesting thing about the synthesis of science and religion. Yeah? He had to give a lecture, and it was a good lecture. It captures everyone's attention, and I remembered it even. I memorized it because it was good. But the Chaitanya Charitamrita gives, logically establishes the ultimate purpose of life. Therefore, there's this open invitation, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Daya Karida Vichara, Vichara Karida, Chitta Pavata Matka, that just apply yourself to understanding the logic of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the logic of Krishna praying, and you will find it. You'll find amazement in your heart. You'll become involved. You'll become transformed. You'll become swept up into it. You'll be yourself also realizing these things. That's if you apply yourself to this logic. So that verse, I call it the open invitation. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Daya Kara Vichara, the open invitation to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that's the, that's how we should approach the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Not only by relishing the stories, but we should try to penetrate into the logic. See, not only ras, but tattva. Because with the tattva, the ras becomes much more elaborate. You taste it much deeper. If you understand really like what it is, and how things are connected, then you'll get so many tastes out of there. So all this philosophy, all this tattva, draws out so much ras. You see. That's why this verse is very logical. I told you, when you stop asking questions, then it's over.
To always be confused when I heard of like the aim as being love of God.
Love of God.
Yeah, I used to think, you know, maybe it was love for God. And then, you know, that's like we have to develop that love for God. And then I'm thinking, love of God, does it mean us realizing how much of love God has for us? Or is it we developing love for God? Or is this, you know, it doesn't matter. It's because
look at the Panchatattva. Look at the Panchatattva. So, who is Lord Chaitanya?
Devotee.
No.
Supreme.
Supreme Lord, yes. In the role of a devotee, but he's the Supreme Lord. Who is Lord Nityananda?
The expansion.
And, yeah, Balaram. Vaidyacharya. You see?
Vishnu
Mahavishnu. Vishnu, the avatar, yes. And then we get okay, Shakti Tattva, and then Srivas, who is he? Jiva Tattva. So Jivas is like one of us. Where is he?
He's in that.
Oh, no, in terms of the altar, where is he?
He's on the altar.
He's on the altar. But that's amazing. You know, even Garuda, he doesn't get on the altar. Garuda, he stands in front of the altar on a column. There's a Garuda column, and he's looking at the altar. But here, we see the Jiva is there, up there with the Lord. Not down, not worshipping. So this love of God, it includes, it's automatically, everything is included there. It's the reciprocation. It's not. It's like sadavodidya mayam sadunamridiyant aham. It is the Lord loves the devotee loves the Lord, and it's like, and they all love each other also. No? So there's a lot of love there. An ocean of love. Beyond and lots of love.
All right. And thereafter, you explained something more about the tattvas, and then you were, there were like five levels, I guess, and one of them was Ganapakti or Ganesh.
I explained the Panchaprasana,
yeah, oh.
The five types of worship,
yeah.
Which Shankaracharya,
yes.
Established five deities, which are manifestations of the impersonal Brahman. And I never explained Prabhupada Baba's temple completely, but he has... His temple has six floors, and he shows on the ground floor, Durga, then on the next floor, there is Surya, on the next floor, Ganapati, on the next floor, Shiva, and on the next floor, and on the top floor, Om. That's it. So, I don't know why they gave him that name. I don't know. But the temple is giving a wrong philosophical understanding. Yeah. It's impersonalism. So don't buy those posters where it shows Krishna and Om above, because it's basically saying he comes from Om. And that's not true. Om comes from him. Because in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is explained like that. It says Brahman, Shankaracharya said Brahman cannot change. Because the absolute cannot change. How can it change? Therefore, you think you see a snake, but it is a rope. Vivartya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, the Lord cannot change, but his energies can change. Brahman is his energy. It's his effulgence. Therefore, it can change. Therefore, it takes on so many forms. So, therefore, the forms are real, not false. Shankaracharya says, the forms are not real because Brahman cannot change. Because Brahman is the Absolute. No, Brahman is the energy of the Absolute. Shakti Parinama.
And what's the difference? That was my question also. What is the difference now between the Ganapati and the other level below Shiva? Because if I remember, you said...
The other level below Shiva?
Yes.
No, Ganapati is level 3 and level 4 is Shiva.
Yes, and Ganapati, I think you said it's worshipping for a material object, isn't it?
Worshipping a personal deity for a very limited material gain.
And the Shiva worshippers, they have the
they
same
are impersonalists, but they have a very broad universal concept. That's why they're higher.
Okay.
They look at a complete universal concept, so they're no longer focusing on a small
mm-hmm.
little world, you know.
Yeah,
oh, please bless my home. Like you, I don't know if you read Jai Vritamarchi's poem, you know. So, Rukmini, if you're interested, Rukmini can give it, can make it available to you. She knows it very well. But he is also, please bless this house, please bless this. Even at one point, there's please bless the pot on which I. So that's Ganapati worship, small,
mm-hmm.
looking for blessings for the small temporary world. And forgetting the whole universal aspect, at least this Shaivites. Impersonalists are looking at liberation.
Mm-hmm.
So, not karma kanda, but they look at liberation. So, it's greater.
Tonight was Prabhu, in the last week, I mentioned that. So, just a question. in terms of trying to understand prema, he said that love is a feeling on one night. And on the next night, he said that love means to serve, something active. And then when you see the descriptions in Chaitanya Charitamrita as to what exactly this Krishna prema is, it seems extreme. So how do you understand what
it is? No, the current situation is extreme. We have become extremely dull. We're all walking around like ghosts. We have lost our natural happiness, and as a result, we're in an extreme state of dullness and depression. and we're just trying to fill it with all kinds of toys, yeah, in this material world. But as we are awakening this this Krishna brain, then naturally ecstasies begin to manifest, which now look like inconceivable and extreme, but it's because we are extremely dull and extremely covered. It actually relates to what we should be, very happy. The other day I was speaking about Haridas and how Govinda would every day bring in this Mahaprasadam, and it said Govinda was jubilant while he's bringing the Mahaprasadam. He was just jubilant. Yeah? I mean, it's amazing that he's like doing this service, and it's like, I'm bringing, you know, Mahaprasadam. You know, not just thinking tasty stuff, but really appreciating it in its full glory. To Haridas Thakur, what an amazing service that I can do this. He was just ecstatic, you know, jubilant, you know, on the road. That's what I got here, you know. So these kind of relationships are just something else. Something else. Yeah, in your place you have to be more jubilant. All your actors have to be more happy. The gopis were dicking this kund, they weren't happy enough.
That's true.
They were working hard, just
they
like,
were tight.
Like the production line, you know. Right. Like the cupcake crew, you know. But the gopis were much more ecstatic.
Maharaj, you mentioned that when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, then Shivas left Navadvip. Where did he go to?
To Kumarhata, the birthplace of Iswarapuri. Somehow or another he felt like, you know, okay, I've lost Lord Chaitanya, where do I go? Find some solace in the place of his spiritual master, because that's where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went himself, to take some earth. Right? So then he went there and he lived there. Also, who lived there was Kavi Karnapur and Shivananda Sen, who was his father. So Kavi Karnapur was such an ecstatic devotee and so much learned in remembering Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in that way, you know, he was at least with someone who was all the time remembering the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he found shelter there. And it's not far from Calcutta. It's on the way to, well, you can drive that way. It's a nice place. I told Ram that one day I should take everyone around West Bengal instead of just East Bengal, because not just Navadvip Mandal, but all the places in West Bengal, many places. And you don't have to stay overnight and share your mosquito with another man and then get visitors of rats in the night.
Some of the most memorable parts.
Yeah. It's too crazy there now in Bangladesh. You can't go there. So at least we did it.
Well, we could.
Okay. So everyone is getting intoxicated with sleep. All right. Then the end. I thank you all.